Our gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3a and 11b through 32. You may find it on page 78 of your pew Bibles. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. For he was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we rejoice for those who have been lost and are now found. We thank you for those who were dead in their sin and are now alive in Christ. We thank you that we have the promise of becoming a new creation in Christ when we give ourselves to him. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that it will penetrate deep within our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the message that I bring forth this morning is truly your message. And may all of our hearts and minds be open to receive the word that you have for us this day. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I know it doesn't feel much like it today, but we are officially in spring. Spring arrived at 5:58 p.m. on Wednesday, March 20th. How many of you have ever heard that you can balance an egg on its end on that day? Any of you ever heard that? Have any of you ever tried it? Well, it says that because of the equinox, which means equal night in Latin, that they say on the autumn and the spring equinox that you can put an egg on its end and it will balance. It also says that because of the equal parts of night and day, which the orbit puts in alignment just so, happens twice a year, with both of the hemispheres receiving equal amount of daylight and darkness. The spring equinox happens in the northern hemisphere, while the autumn equinox happens in the southern hemisphere. It is said the equinox is to restore balance. It's to restore the earth by signaling its rebirth from a period of darkness. I would say the majority of people, if not all people, look forward to the spring equinox, as well as daylight savings time, when our days last longer and our nights are shorter. How many of you like that time of the year when the days begin to be longer and the light lasts through the day, through the evening? There is a thing known as seasonal depression, which many people suffer from in the winter months when those days are short and the nights are long. How many of you have begun to notice the new life that is coming forth now in the spring of the season? The daffodils that are coming up through the ground, the crocuses, maybe some other spring flowers, but they're breaking through that dead brown earth to show us new life. Soon, the grass will be green. There will be buds on the trees and the leaves will be full. With the warmth of the sun returning, new life comes about. How many of you look at spring and think about newness of life? What would it be like if all we knew was bleak, cold, and ugly days? You may not know this about me yet, but you'll probably learn this as I'm here in time, that one of my favorite hymns to sing during the Christmas season is "In the Bleak Midwinter." However, in part of that first verse, it says, "In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind make moan, earth stood still as iron." I am sure that each of us can relate to those words as they pertain to the earth. I am sure that some of you relate to that to the point that you take yourselves away from it and go south when the earth is stone cold and like iron. But how many of us have ever looked at our lives being like that bleak midwinter? Hearts hard as iron, unwilling to forgive others, unwilling to look at who we are in Christ as well as who our neighbor is. How many of us have stone cold hearts, ready to shut out those who think and act very differently than us? How many of us are making moan? In other words, grumbling and complaining. What leads us to those places of bleakness? What leads us to places of darkness in our lives? It may be of how you were treated as a child growing up, that you feel that you are a person who has no worth or no value. And yet we need to remember that we are God's creation. Maybe times that you have tried to do good time and time again, and for some reason you just seem to keep messing up time and time again. Forgetting that we often learn from our failures, our mistakes. Opportunities for us to grow in our faith. It may be lost opportunities because we weren't sure how we were supposed to proceed. And instead of turning to the Lord for help, we tried to do it all on our own. It may be hurt and heartache from a lost relationship or relationships. It may be a terminal diagnosis on our life that changes how we live the rest of our days here on earth. But no matter what it is something that has crushed the sense of joy out of our lives. It is something that has caused us to go into that period of bleak midwinter, or those periods of darkness. And oftentimes what happens is when we go into those periods, we turn to the things of this world. We turn to food. We turn to alcohol. We turn to drugs. We turn to pornography. We turn to gambling. We turn to shopping. We turn to drama, and I don't mean drama as in the play that the children are going to be doing, but drama to cause drama in our lives. We turn to earthly relationships instead of our relationship with God. Sometimes we even go into a depression. For some, a deep, dark impression. Depression. Never, not being able to see a way out of this darkness. We want to hear the words, "It's over, new life is ready to burst forth." We not only want to hear those words, but we want to believe those words. See, when we're in those periods of darkness in our lives, we struggle, don't we? We struggle trying to make sense of what our life is about. But what we need to remember is God never struggles. God is always there for us. God has brought us the good news, which gives us new life. God's power and love renew us and restore us. God's love knows no limits. We may say we are finished. We may say there is no hope. We may say, what do I have to live for? But God Himself would never use any of those words or phrases. God is all about renewal. God is all about new life. And God isn't finished with any of us. As I said last week, we are in the midst of construction. We're under constant construction when we belong to God. But what we need to remember is we are all in different places of our faith. How many of you have ever watched the construction of a new home? I compare that to our lives, our faith lives. For some, maybe the ground has not yet been broken. For others, maybe that foundation has been dug. For others, that foundation is laid. For yet others, that construction is going, the structure itself is going up on that foundation. For others, that structure is finished inside. For some, the house is built. But how many of you are homeowners? You know, even if you have a newly constructed home, as a homeowner, there is always work to be done, isn't there? Whether that work be on the inside or the outside of your home. And just like a homeowner that continuously needs work done, that's how our faith is. It continually needs work. And God works on each of us. In our Corinthians scripture today, Paul says that we are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away and the new has come. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us new when we confess our sin. It makes a difference in how we live our lives. And how we live our lives today, how we live our lives tomorrow, and how we live our lives and all the tomorrows after that. It means that within us, we are constantly being renewed. We are constantly being transformed into the image of Christ because God is constantly working on us. God's love is always transforming us. God's love is always pulling us out of those bleak places, out of those places of darkness. And Paul understands that because Paul lived a life in darkness. Remember him as Saul? So Paul came to the understanding of what it meant to look at things from a human point of view. As humans, we have a limited view. Our view is limited within the scope of what our minds allow us to see and what our minds allow us to know. However, God knows all. God sees all. And God can envision and know without a doubt where we are going. We just have to trust him. We have to trust him even when our minds, which are limited, cannot understand. Like the passage in Luke, God is that Father always waiting for us. God's never going to force us to come back to him or come to him to begin with. And yet God is always ready to embrace us, to have that celebration with us. God is always ready to rejoice and say the words, "My child was dead and is now alive, lost and now found." See, God meets us where we are. He is standing there ready to take us in his arms of love and of grace. He's ready to embrace us. He's ready to set us free from ourselves and give us new life. As long as you and I are here on earth, we will unfortunately look at things from a human point of view. I praise God that he looks at things differently. Amen? I praise God that his love and his grace are poured out for you and for me and for the world through the blood of Jesus Christ. I praise God that you and I can be renewed, refreshed, we can be given new life. And yet we fail to look at that for others. For some reason, we want to continue to criticize and judge others. We can justify our sin, and we can say, well, you know what? God isn't finished with me yet. But we have a hard time looking at someone else and saying, God isn't finished with them yet either. See, God doesn't just love and care for a few. He loves and cares for all of creation, for every human being that he has created. None of us are special and privileged, even though we may like to think so. We can feel sorry for those who have not yet come to know Christ, but we need to be aware that Christ is waiting for them, that he is ready to embrace them and receive them, just like he has received us, because he cares and loves everyone. So that life-giving power, that renewing power of God that is in you and I, is also for the world, because God isn't finished with any of us. But we need to be open to God's Holy Spirit as he continues to work on us. And we need to remember that we are all at different places. And so how it is that God convicts me very well may not be how he convicts any one of you. And where it is that he is convicting you is probably not where he is convicting your neighbor. But we need to be open to how it is that God wants to work in our lives, remembering that we are all at different places in our faith walk. And none of us are perfect. There are no limits to God's power to renew and transform life. It doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter where we have been. It doesn't matter how many times we have tried to do things on our own without ever consulting God. It doesn't matter how much ugliness has been in our life. It doesn't matter what sin is in our life. When we turn to God with any of that, his love erases our past and creates a new future for us. But here's the problem. Many times we turn to God, we confess our sin, we confess that ugliness that is in our life, we confess what it is that we have tried to do on our own, and we say, God, I give this to you. And then we turn around and we do it again, don't we? Satan has a hold on us, and Satan keeps trying to pull us back to where we once were. But every day is a new day. God gives each and every one of us 24 hours. And so when we mess up today, we can wake up tomorrow and we can ask God for forgiveness and ask that his love and his grace be poured out on us. But that doesn't mean that we say, oh, you know what? I can do that today because tomorrow's a new day. And I can ask God to forgive me tomorrow. Now, we need to allow God's Holy Spirit to be powerful enough in our lives, to be a presence within us, that when we confess that sin, that we do so with the hearts and the minds that we are giving it to God, and that he is going to take it from us. Does that mean we will always be perfect? No, it doesn't. That God is there, waiting to embrace us, to love us, to renew us. Because God isn't finished with any of us. and he won't be until the day we meet him face to face. So in the meantime, may we look deep within ourselves, see where it is that we need to confess of our sin, give it to God, allow his love and his grace to reach deep into those places of darkness in our lives and to take us out of that darkness. We need to see where it is that we need to extend his love and grace to others. But we need to remember, most of all, even though the earth's orbit, which God has put into place, isn't what takes us from darkness to light, but it's Jesus Christ himself, the light of the world. Amen.